Good morning, everybody. Afternoon or nighttime, wherever you are. You can see I'm in the car at the moment. I'm in a car park at McDonald's. I'm not eating McDonald's though. I might get a coffee. But I sort of found a spot with good service. So yeah, I've been sort of racing to get some service so I can get clear enough service to do the live talk. So I've got some questions and I got to catch up with my father last night, which was good. So this is my first clinic run since sort of the lockdown. So I'm off on my way to Queensland, and I've got all the permits to go up and run a couple of small workshops up there, and then head back down to the Hunter Valley. So quite exciting to be back on the road again, and help out a few people. So it's sort of 3 months at home has been wonderful though. Certainly looking forward to teaching again. So anyway, I've got a few really good questions here, and Kylie, I'll talk to you a little bit more about your horse, but not on the Q&A about your horse and that sort of thing. So we've already kind of, I think, we'll arrange something there anyway. But yeah, anyway, for first questions, Briar, I've started helping someone with a 12-year-old horse, owned him a year. He does trekking with a local club. They walk only. He has bucked and she came off on a ride. Also keeps him on his own. He's very heavy and seems to have his natural lightness gone when doing groundwork or ridden. He steps, lumbers, falls in with his inside front foot when you pick up the inside rein, as no one has been able to offer a correct feel and release to him. Keeps his body straight, weight on forehand. Should I be working his hindquarter better first and backing up to help him shift his weight off his front end, or stick with leading? So, Briar, the first thing I'll sort of say is, you know, I know those horses, there's a lot of people that struggle with those horses that are heavy on the forehand and stiff through their whole body. And basically what happens when you pick up a rein, they just shift away from the pressure opposed to just, you know, look into a turn and soften up. Now, you're correct in saying, you know, should I work getting the horse more on the hind quarter so the horse can carry itself a little better? But when you talk about the hind quarter and things, the biggest thing is the horse is carrying itself, and the only thing that's going to get a horse to carry itself is that change of thought that you need to get the horse, there's a lot of horses that push and they push and they push, and it's only because their mind is further ahead of where their body is. So everything that you do, whether it be a left turn, a back up, you know, anything like that, there's going to be a lot of weight and pressure there, because the horse is fighting to be somewhere else, and in that fighting, that's where you get the stiffness and the brace and things like that. And firstly, the only way you can sort of get a horse to carry itself is have the mind closer to the feet. That's kind of a way of saying it, but you know what I mean is the horse has to be thinking about what it's doing right there, not where it wants to be. So most horses' minds, due to certain anxieties and stuff, are destination based. So destination based is if you get on your horse and you ask it to go forward, and it's going forward over the horizon or going sideways over to those horses over there where it was comfortable, that's a destination. So if you accelerate your horse and your horse is 100 meters ahead of its body thinking to that destination, well, it's gonna have a pushy acceleration, and then when you want to slow that horse down, it's going to be heavy because that horse is way over there and you're just trying to put friction in its way to stop it or back it up or whatever you're going to do. So everything you do has to have a complete thought change on a horse like that. So basically what I would tend to do on a horse like that is, as soon as I get on it, now I'm not going to, it sounds like, you know, you can do a lot of groundwork, and people say do a lot of groundwork, but then sometimes you get on a horse and they're heavy in the mind and you've got to deal with it up there. So what I encourage people to do with horses like that is I get them to get up on their horse and basically start that centering lesson at a standstill. So as soon as you sit your bottom in the saddle, the horse is going to go, I'm anxious and I want to go somewhere else. And that's the first conversation that you're going to have. So you might pick up on the reins and, you know, if that horse pushes into the reins and starts to walk off, you might say, now come back, reset center here, until, and you might have to stay there for 5 minutes, until that horse goes, well, I guess we're not going anywhere. Whew, I'm gonna commit my thoughts to here, and I'm here with you, okay? And then you get off and reward your horse and get on again, and that's maybe one way to start it. So the horse knows that you don't want it to be on a destination somewhere else. You would like it to be here. And this, and what'll happen is when you breathe out and relax with the horse, when it kind of relaxes with you, and you offer that center point that feels good, the horse starts to go, oh, it actually feels a little better when I'm here than when I'm over there. So because horses don't like to be emotionally separated and have their mind somewhere else and their body here, because that stresses them out. It stresses people out. You know, how many people are not in the present trying to do a job and they can't do it properly because they're thinking about something else? And so the further a horse's mind is from its feet, the more anxiety you're going to have. So get on your horse, get it centered. And if you have to back your horse up when it pushes, so say if your horse pushes into the reins and you pick him up and say, that door's closed, come back, well, you start teaching a backup. And that's where I'd go to say, yeah, teach your horse a good quality backup. Now, good quality backup is a backup that requires the horse to be thinking backwards and carrying itself backwards. If you still feel the backup, the horse is pushing and you're kind of pulling it back like a garbage compactor, as in, I'm backing, and the horse is, you know, pushing on me, then basically you're going to have friction, and the horse is going to be bracing and kind of sliding backwards but thinking forwards. So you've got to complete the backup till it's a nice backward thought, and the horse is carrying itself softly backwards. So that's really important. And another thing I would do, back to basics, is teach the horse to walk off on a turn. So instead of kind of setting up the turn from a walk or a trot, I'll read that question. So stay with the first ask rather than get louder, as he seems to not hear. Add some energy. You will stay with the first ask till he answers the first question, most definitely. If he pushes firmer into the reins, well, you can firm up and say that door's closed, because he's going to create more pressure if he pushes. But you've got to make it feel like he creates more pressure. Sometimes if they're really sludgy and just not wanting to pick up the idea of backing up, you know, so horses that are heavy in the backup, I will add energy with my legs. So what I will do is... I've got a little bit of a cord here. I try and give you an idea what I mean, so I'm not trying to kind of confuse you through a jumble of words, but basically what we're trying to do, if you can see, that it would be nice if it wasn't so. Basically, imagine that being a rein. Now what happens, you pick up on the reins and then you get this sort of certain amount of pressure, and the horse kind of just feels like they drag back to that pressure. And even if we firm up a little on the reins to say try a little harder, they just firm up a little in their brace and just slide a little faster backwards, but still more braced. So when I've got horses that are just naturally heavy and used to having heavy hands on them as well, what I'll try and do is I'll try and pick up a light feel, so the horse starts to feel that light feel and go, oh, something's happening. And then when the horse is going, oh, what's that, and it's not moving, I won't pull it to go back. I'll actually bump my legs and say, hey, create some energy, and that horse will go, oh, energy means go forward, I know that one. And it'll go dunk to the end of the rein like that, and it'll go, oh, and then you firm up a little to say that door's closed. And then your horse will back off a little, and then you just loosen the rein straight away. You don't ask for a full backup or anything. So then you start again, pick up a light feel, and the horse goes, even if it walks forward off that light feel, then it's going to find the same thing. It's going to find its own boundary. And you keep repeating that, pick up a feel. If it doesn't move, add a little energy. The horse pushes. Oh, okay, right. So then what happens after about maybe five goes, after one go with some horses, after 20 goes with others? you might get this starting to happen. You pick up a light feel and the horse goes, ah. Oh. And it starts to back off a light feel. So there's not this extra friction that it's braced on, you know, so it's got nothing to lean on. You don't want it going back off air and just so light that you can't actually put a direction to that feel and accuracy. But to start with, it teaches the horse to carry itself backwards a little. And you can do that on the ground. And there's a couple of lessons on the subscription where I kind of, and most recently, actually, there's some backup videos that I've put on. And there's one of a horse at home who we put the kids on. He's quiet, but he kind of gets a bit sleepy. And it was me showing how I could pick up the rein, wave the flag above the horse, and the horse will go, oh, I'm going to pick up and back up. And, so that gets them to back up themselves. And then to get your little horse steering, once your horse is backed up nice and over its hind quarter and starting to understand that, and it's with you and it's not thinking somewhere else, then I teach them to just lead off on a turn. What I mean by that is I just pick up a feel and get the horse to look a little, and then I'll lighten up. I'll get it to look a little, lighten up, and I'll just teach it to look left and right. And it's kind of like lateral flexion, but you're not just bending them right around to your boot and just kind of doing it just to get their neck going bendy or anything. It's to get them to look and look, just like a real look, like you were to look, or you know, someone was to look somewhere. The horse looks over there a little, looks over there, and it commits its thoughts to that look. Teach it to look a little left, look a little right, look a little left, and then you don't want to spend all day teaching it just to look without doing something, because it'll start to say, well, what was the point of that? You know, looking, yeah, right, now I can look. So soon enough, when that horse starts to look, then I'll say look and go forward into that thought. So you're teaching it to bend and look a little, and then walk forward into its thought. Walk forward into its thought to the left, walk forward thought to the right, and so forth. And then what it starts to realize is, oh, when you pick up that rein, that gets it to look and think, not just go, I'm just going to fall over off that pressure. Okay, takes a little while, but the stiff ones, you've got to really, especially if they're anxiety stiff, you know, they really need some time to go back to the basics and soften. And then soon you'll be walking and the horse will look, and then, you know, maybe a week down the track, maybe 2 weeks down the track, you'll be jogging along and you'll pick up the left rein, and the horse will look left and start to want to go left, because it's happy, because it's going towards its thoughts. It's not going away from its thoughts. You're not dragging it away from its thoughts. So if you can get that horse to commit and think about what it's doing, you're not taking it away from somewhere else all the time. And that's what will take that stiffness out of them. But yeah, most definitely, you'll get those, you'll get that wither up and that more lightness in the front end by teaching the horse to back up very well and sort of not push with the front in the back up, but kind of draw with the hind and walk backwards with a nice equal, you know, they feel equally balanced, you know. Yeah, the good thing about that little lesson I just showed you with the rein is the rider learns about feel, and they learn what it's like to have a horse kind of carry themselves a little bit, and you can get them very quickly doing it if you do it in the right way. And it teaches them about, you know, the saying, and people that have listened to this a few times and it followed me a little bit, you know, the saying that they've heard me say a few times is, you don't teach a horse, you don't bring your boundaries to a horse, you let your horse find boundaries, and that's another way of, you know, doing it. So yeah, thanks for the question, Briar. Helen, I'm fairly new to the concept of directing opposed to driving, and a lot of people I come across, Helen, are fairly new to that concept, because, you know, for the last 20 years, you know, the vast majority of say horsemanship that's become available, I guess, to people has had a lot more driving opposed to directing a horse's thoughts. And for everybody that's, you know, new on, you know, that'll listen to this, it's kind of, you know, in Ross Jacobs's Yellow Book, he talks about, you know, directing and driving, guiding, driving. I used to always say guiding, driving, you know, whatever it is. And the difference is a horse is going towards its thoughts when you're directing it, and if you're driving a horse, the horse tends to be going away from its thoughts, and that's why it's not healthy to drive. Now, I've seen you can use driving pressure to direct a horse's thoughts, but you have to be very particular about it. Unfortunately, a lot of people have just been thinking about their feet and getting the body over, so they haven't been particular about the thoughts. So most cases of driving I've seen have been a horse going away from its thoughts. So really important, and that's why we direct horses, that's why we guide direct, is because we want them to be going towards their thoughts and thinking what they're doing. If the horse is thinking what they're doing, you've got far more chance of having less tension and anxiety in your horse, so very important. I'd like a little guidance, please, on how to deal with a horse at feed time that's very food focused. Some days are worse than others, but basically he circles me while carrying in the hay. If I don't drive him away, he circles closer with that pissy ears and cuts me off. I feel like since I've tried to back off with the driving, he's getting more pushy. Now this is the Helen, this is I wasn't aware of it till I started doing clinics, and then now I'm highly aware of it, and I have to kind of make people understand, if you start to change the way you're doing something and operating around your horse, there will be things that change. Now, I get a lot of horses that are kind of half scared of their owners. Not scared of them when they're scratching them and rugging them and brushing them, but just scared of them when they're sort of offering education, because, you know, sometimes too much of that driving pressure makes the owner, the person, seem like a horse that's pushing the horse down the pecking order. Because if you see a horse drive into another horse, it's to say go away. That's what the intention of that horse is doing. It's not some fancy herd psychological thing that makes the horse, you know, beg to come back. The simple conversation sometimes is one horse says to another horse, go away. If you don't go away, I'm going to tell you to go away. So they might do a bit of body language, and then horse doesn't listen. Horse, you know, the dominant horse says go away. And if that dominant horse kept saying go away, like pushing that horse out of a herd, like you see sometimes when a new horse joins a herd, and then a dominant horse, or, you know, mare or gelding comes up and says, hey, go away, get out, you're not part of our tribe, you know, get out of here. That poor little horse, especially if it's in a yard, gets a pretty bad feeling, especially when you see him running around a yard and there is no gate open to get away, and then next minute they crash through a fence. So back to the driving and directing, the reason why your horse probably had a little bit of that anxiety in it and anger in it is because driving can feel like getting pushed down the pecking order to a horse. And I don't know how many thousands of horses I've seen at clinics that operate with that kind of angry, upset look, you know. They're doing what they're supposed to do, but they just look like they've been pushed away from the herd by a horse that doesn't want them there. And that's why I really tried hard to try and figure out ways to operate horses that got them feeling better about what they were doing. So Helen, yesterday I carried a dressage whip while I walked in with the hay. I didn't have to do anything with it, but he gave me, this will give me more sort of food for the question, but he gave me a wide berth. I felt like simply carrying it was pressure. Yes. Now, that's not such a bad thing. So you walked in with a dressage whip, not with the intention to hit your horse and cause pain. Now, that's what I was going to say to you, was just walk in with a flag, dressage whip with a flag on the end. Now, I helped a friend with a horse yesterday just down on the coast here, and I worked the horse with the flag, and you know, I don't talk about a flag or a stick being an extension of my arm and things like that, like you hear being taught. What I do is I say, this is my friend that I can't control, but I'm centered and calm. I can control myself, I can control my seat, my body language, my reins, the way I walk, I can control all that. But every now and again, the flag has a bit of a fit, but I'm calm, so don't worry about the flag, because I'm calm. So yeah, so if he ignored, yeah, you know, and what you're saying, if he ignored the flag, you've gone for the whip. Now, he's probably had something happened with the whip in the past that makes him a bit funny. Don't worry that he's a bit anxious about having you having the whip. He's allowed to be frightened of a whip for a little while. Not that you're going to whip him with it or anything. What I'm saying is just, you know, sometimes there's things a horse is frightened of, but you don't want the horse frightened of you, okay? And that's why you're calm in the way you are. So if he gave you a wide berth, that's really good. Now, when you go in with your feed, instead of kind of being dominant and pushing him away to say, no, go away, like a, you know, a dominant horse, because a lot of people try to play the dominant game, but the horse sees through them. They see the little interactions where the horse steps away from them here, the person steps away from the horse here and there. So all those little interactions where the person's not centered and strong and calm, the horse sees that. So when that not so centered person that's not so that has some weaknesses tries to be dominant, the horse will go, well, maybe one day I'm going to challenge that, because I see you when in normally, and I think that my presence makes you move out of my space sometimes a little and things like that. And it's only very subtle, but it's that subtle body language the horse starts to read and pick up on. So what I've seen a lot of people, they get a little pushy to say, because the horse gets pushy, so they say, no, I need to teach you respect, get out of my space. They're trying to carry the dominant horse kind of, I'm going to be the dominant horse, but yet when they're normally around their horse, they're not carrying it as well as they should. So the horse sees through those little cracks and eventually can get more angry and maybe more defensive and also aggressive, purely because there's been an aggressive way of pushing the horse. So back to the stick. When you go in with the stick, if the horse starts to go, oh, well, you've walked in with that stick 5 days in a row and I've been aware, but you haven't done anything with it, oh, I'm just going to come in and start doing what I usually do and push on you, then you might just have some long boots or something, you know, boots, or have something on your leg that's, you're not going to hurt yourself, and then just bang the stick on your boot or whip it to make a pop on your boot and just go pop, and the horse will go, whoa, what was that? And it comes as quick as it goes, and the horse will go, oh, better pay attention. But as you didn't have a big backflip and, you know, excessive body language, you were there calm. And if the horse went, whoa, what was that? And then reached back out to you and said, are you okay? And sniffs out soft, you'd put your hand out and say, hello, I'm still your friend. And when a horse gets pushy, you'd be centered and strong. And that's where, you know, if the flag didn't work, obviously it didn't work. But you know, sometimes I've seen horses that the flag doesn't work for, but if I've popped it in a quite random way, you know, especially if it's got a bit of plastic on the end, it'll go, whoa, what was that? And it'll just reset its focus. You'll take a hard, angry thought away or a pushy thought to get to that food. The horse will go, whoop, what was that? And then you stand there calm and it might get replaced with a soft thought it might be not a completely soft thought. It might be a wary thought, but it'll be like, I'm just going to come and softly see what that was because I'm not sure. And it might get a little angry and whatever and go and dance around out there and go, oh, I don't know. And if it pushes in again at your boundary, you just pop that stick again and it goes, whoop, right. And then you stay calm and then the horse will calm down a little. So, but to make it work even better, when you see the horse thinking the thought possibly of pushing, possibly just close the thought before it becomes a task. You know, the horse is actually thinking it and doing it. Get them when they're starting to think it, and you'll see those early signs earlier and close them earlier. I talked about this in the last question and answer, or, you know, a previous one, about a pony that does the same thing. So, yeah, and that circling and cuts me off and things like that. You walk and stop and walk and stop and send yourself every time and make him start to think about it instead of just walking, walking, walking. And remember, that feed is yours until you give it to him. Just like a horse that circles another horse and says, I'd like your food. If that horse eating the food is centered and strong and believes that that's its food, and it makes a clear boundary to say, you come any closer and I'm going to say no, then that horse will respect that boundary. And then once that thought of not, once the horse knows it's not going to come into that boundary, then it can relax and be done with it. But then once that horse has stopped thinking on the food and knowing, and it knows that's your food, you own that food. If you want to eat your horse's food, you could, because it's yours until you give it away. So when you put that food down and you remove yourself from that food and allow that horse to come in, that's when it's his food and you've offered it to him. Until then, it's not his, and you've got to change his thought. When he thinks it's his food, by being clear with your boundaries. So be very clear with your boundaries. Yeah, basically, if he's standing at the gate, you'll just stand at the gate and wait there before you walk in. Don't try and just push in on him when he's pushing his thoughts on that food and you. You wait outside that gate and you'll just keep, you know, pop that stick, whatever you have to do to change his thought off that gate. And when he's not thinking on that gate and his thoughts aren't right there, you can walk in the gate. And if you watch their thoughts harder, you'll know when they've had a change of thought and they're not thinking on the gate. A lot of people are just pushing an empty body around and the thoughts are over the top of them all the time. So, okay, you've got a way of showing him, yeah. So as long as there's a way there that you know that I've offered the food to you, then that's fine. But as long as he knows it's your food when you've got it. And yeah, but anyway, Helen, thanks for the question. I hope, you know, it may not, you know, we may be talking again in another question and answer about this, and you might try a couple of things and then they start to work or they don't work and we have to reset a few things. But yeah, I'm sure you'll have, you know, try it and see what results you get. So thank you. Genevieve. Hi Mark, I have a question about how to discourage Lockie biting the lead rope when working close near him and reins when leading with bridle. He tries to bite me when working close near his head. If I'm asking him to do anything such as trying to send him out a step and center him, taking the close rope position for a backup, makes groundwork very tricky when trying to get close to have a good feel or him to follow on the rope. I end up in the zone of the nip attack. The nip attack zone. It's like shark attack. I used to shake him back with the lead rope, but I'd have to get very loud. And as you point out, it just makes him brace and probably makes him more anxious and more ambitious to not cooperate. I've tried turning him in a tight circle. As soon as he starts chomping the rope, I briskly walk in a tight circle the other direction with the lead rope, and eventually he will let out the rope, immediately stop and turn. That sort of works, but I feel I've really have to pull him around as he plants his feet braced with his neck turned and the lead rope firmly in his jaws. Today I tried the flag to distract him each time he went for my arms or the rope. On his right eye, I had to actually wave it between his head and my arm to distract his thought to bite at me. I keep my feet planted and try to be quick and loud with the flag. He licks, chews and releases big yawns on the right especially. After he stops, and is that a sign that this could work with consistency? I'll put my finger there. Yes, it is a sign it could work with consistency for sure. Okay, well, I try and hide the flag from him until the moment I wanted to distract him, but concerned if I could be risking desensitizing him to the flag. Short background. He's a 13-year-old ex-hacky horse. You would probably say partially cooked, pinny ears, pushy braces, resentful of legs or asking him forward, etc. Your connection videos are so helpful. Lots of improvement all round, but his biting thing is one of the biggest hurdles. Any thoughts on how to approach this? Thank you. I'm going to keep it simple, and I'm not going to ask you to do a lot of directing with him. How do I explain this? What I would say is, if you interrupt a horse, it gets cranky, just like when you interrupt a person. So if you, like, it's like when you're trying to talk to somebody and your kids come up and they're kind of yibby yabby yibby yabby trying to ask you 100 questions, and you just go, please, I can't cope with all this information. So you either teach them to wait until you've finished your conversation, and then you can give them their full attention. And it's the same with horses. So when people have nippy, bitey, kind of, you know, all these habits, pushy, whatever, pinny ears, can rattle through them all, what ends up happening is We're asking the horse a question when it's not present and it's not thinking about something. It's got something else on its mind. And when we grab it under the chin or something, we don't like that. And some horses get a bit nippy because you just grab them under the chin and they're sensitive around the muzzle and it's not a feeling that they kind of super, you know, like a lot. So they get a bit funny about it. But all in all, what I've seen is a horse softens when it's present and listening and centered. So the reason why people have a little bit of trouble with the close contact, leading past, backing up, things like that, is it's an annoyance to the horse because the horse is still thinking about something else and we're just still shoving it. So we're actually kind of not doing our leading lessons justice. You know, you may as well go back to just driving them if you're not going to have your horse centered when you lead them past and things like that. So going back to him letting down a little after you've sort of distracted him, that's what you said. You've saw a window of opportunity there where the horse is kind of relaxing and resetting its thoughts. So I wouldn't do a lot of leading and backing and close contact work. I would do little pieces of it. So what I mean is if your horse gets a little, you know, say for instance, if he gets a little bit, nibble that rope, I'm going to nibble that rope and I'm getting a bit you go center. Okay, so that clap of my hands could be the clap of a flag. And you'll go, bop, bop, sorry, what? And then you'll go, oh, I'm centered, I'm here. Okay, now sometimes you want to allow him to center and relax a little to show him he doesn't always, you know, centering is going to make him feel good. But where people go a little wrong is they center their horse and teach them that focus and relax and focus and relax and focus and relax until focus work means relax work. Now, you want a horse with a relaxed mind, but you want an aware, focused mind and decide, you know, knowing the difference between sleepy, relaxed and focused, calm mind, you know, is what we need to understand. So you'll center him to get his mind clear of all those little wriggly thoughts that are going on. You'll clear him of the wriggly thoughts, center him. If he gets a wriggly thought up, center until he goes, okay, his mind becomes at peace. And when you see, you'll see that because he will have a little letdown because he'll actually, his mind and his feet and his body will be together. Those wriggly thoughts are usually because they're elsewhere, somewhere. When he's like that, instead of saying, now lead past and do circles and backups and, you know, blah, 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 you might say, now step up a little. Thank you. Center. So for horses that are really, get irritated, don't overdo your lessons, and people might think it's like watching paint dry, but I'll get a horse and I'll stand back. So another lesson I really like doing, and this is for the horses that are nibbly when you're close, don't do close work with them. So, you know, maybe center your horse a few meters out and teach it to lead a few meters out. So what I mean by that is you'll droop the rope. So going back to my rope that I've just lost, I use my phone rope here so it looks a bit better. So you'll droop the rope and that rope will be hanging down off the horse's chin. When you pick up that rope, you'll get the horse to take a step, and it'll take a step and that'll happen. And as soon as that rope droops, it knows to stop. And you'll teach it to take one step forward, stop, one step forward, stop, two steps forward, stop. And by just drooping that rope, so it starts to learn to just float with the rope, stop with the rope, gets a wriggly thought, take it away. Then what I'd be doing is, you know, starting to go, well, now I'm going to slide down, come up beside you and take one step back. Thank you. One step forward, one step back. And then you might offset your horse. So you're standing in front of your horse, 2 meters back from your horse, looking at your horse's face. And then you might step maybe 2 steps to the side with the rope still droopy. And then you just, like a bow and arrow, put your arm out wide and pull that rope up. And the horse should look across with that rope and maybe take a step across from a distance. And teach it to do all that just one step at a time. So he learns to understand that just following that rope's okay and you're not in there mauling him on his head. And sometimes when they're not centered and we're in mauling on their head, we just create more nibble and brace. So for some of those horses, I'll step back a little and work with them. And then go in a little close contact later on. I could probably come in and show you a couple of tricks how to do it, but just on a live question like this, that where I'm just trying to give you some advice, sometimes to talk you through the feel required to do it, it's a little difficult. And learning the feel yourself, sometimes at a distance on the longer rope, can be good. But yeah, and just ask littler tasks with more presence of your horse. Expect more presence, expect more quality, but don't expect to do a lot. You know, and I think that's where people go wrong. They get their horse to do a lot, like walk past me around in a circle, then back up, now walk over there and do this. But that's what I call a lot, but they expect a little. And as in, they're expecting their horse to do a lot, but with little quality and little. So I'd say do a lot less, but expect a lot. As in, 100%, I need you calm and listening to this with quality, not wriggly thoughts, okay? Yeah, but it really good though, Genevieve, that you know, you've got, you know, got your horse centered more. Helen, guilty. yeah, don't worry, don't feel about being guilty, because geez, I've been guilty a few times, and it's my, you know, I'm trying to impart my knowledge of the good things that I've learned over years to help people out, but unfortunately that knowledge has been learnt through a lot of mistakes. And so if I can, I've made a few mistakes and still am making mistakes, but sometimes finding the answers through mistakes makes the pathway clearer when you start to get it right. If you've gone down the wrong road, you kind of know what it's like. So when you're going down the right road, you know, you get a more feel of what's right. So some of what I teach is because of my I've learned through my mistakes. And I think we all learn like that. You know, if you read the textbook and don't make the mistake, you'll never know if it was a mistake or not anyway. So, you know, you'll just believe what the words say, or what you know. I don't want people to believe me. I don't want people to say, well, Mark says do it like this, I'm not going to listen to anyone else. But if I can help you out and it works and you see your horse feel better, then I would say, and do something feeling good about it. Yeah, just like the horses. Then basically the horse, you know, you'll learn better and it'll be clearer to you. And that's why, you know, someone's gone to university, they've got to go out and do a good few years of practice in their job. And then that's when they become a real, you know, good operator. They have the knowledge of what they've been taught through university, but the life experience of that helps. And yeah, that's where, anyway, I've gone off on track there. But so yeah, where are we at now with Genevieve? I think we've done all the questions. We didn't have as many questions today. So thank you everybody for coming on board. Gonna have to turn the aircon on soon, because I'm like in a greenhouse in this car. I've turned it all off, so we've got sort of a bit quiet, and I've got the windows closed because there's a fair bit of traffic. But yeah, I feel like we're about 40 degrees in the car now. So anyway, thanks everybody, and yeah, thanks for your input and your questions, and I'll talk to you in a fortnight. So yeah, look out. If anyone's in the Queensland vicinity, Dvarisdale and Gatton, I'll be running some workshops there. So tomorrow and the next day I'll be at Dvarisdale, and then Monday, Tuesday I will be in Gatton, and then down to the Hunter Valley for two clinics down there. But just jump online if anyone wants to come and fence it, watch, or say good day. All right then, thank you. Bye. Yeah, I can't turn it off.